fresh vision. Faith for fresh vision. So everybody say
faith
for fresh vision.
Fresh vision.
Now, it's important. I want you to personalize these things and see what God wants us to see today. Amen. In Jeremiah 29:11, we see the scripture says in the New Living Translation, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And friends, don't think that God doesn't know that 2018 is coming up tomorrow. But the good news is God has a plan. Everybody say God has a plan.
God has a plan.
God has a plan. So you might have said, wow, 2017 has been a rough year, been a challenging year. But everybody said God has a plan.
God has a plan.
Now, this verse is an interesting verse because Jeremiah is not necessarily a rejoicing book. And we see this chapter as not necessarily a rejoicing chapter. It's a dark chapter in a dark book. Typically, I don't necessarily refer to Jeremiah for devotions, but because it's a dark chapter, and this is a dark chapter in a dark book. And in this dark chapter in a dark book, we find this bright verse. In the midst of the darkness, God has a plan. Everybody say, God has a plan.
God has a plan.
God has a good plan. He said, I know the plans. He said, I know them. Plans for what? Good and not disaster. Isn't that good?
Amen.
To give you a future and a hope. That means God has a good future in store for each and every one of you.
Amen.
So how does God unfold his glorious good plan? By giving us vision. Everybody say, giving us vision. Now we find the word scripture that is very standout because, see, the connection to God's plan, which is, you know, he's in the spirit realm, and we exist in two realms. We deal with the temporal realm of truth and reality. It's the natural realm. We have to live there. We have to deal with that. But there's also the spiritual realm of reality, which is who you are in Christ. That means every good thing is in you in Christ Jesus. Amen. God has got great things in store. Spiritual plans that are just so awesome and outstanding for you and me. But he connects us to this glorious good plan by vision. This is one of the tools, one of the key tools he gives us is he gives us vision. And in Proverbs 28:9-18, it says in the King James, where there's no vision, the people perish. So we see the problem of not having a vision. You put yourself in perishing predicaments. But he said, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In other words, someone who decides to live their life committed to the Word of God, based upon the Word of God. We said the Word of God must govern our lives in what we think, what we say, and what we do. In other words, what the person who decides to commit their life to live by the Word of God will be happy.
Amen.
New Living Translation says it this way, when people do not accept divine guidance. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of guidance, all kind of diets and people wanting to sell you stuff to lose weight for the new year or New Year's resolutions and all those kinds of things. But you need divine guidance. Everybody say, I need
divine guidance.
But he said, but when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whosoever obeys the law is joyful. Look at the Amplified. It says, for where there is no vision, no revelation of God, and his word, I would say also his word is will or synonymous, or his will. What does God want for you in 2018? Everybody say, God has a plan. God, what does God want for your spirit, your mind, your learning, your growth plan, your family plan, your marriage, your finances, your future? God has a plan.
Amen.
And when there is no vision, he imparts that. He unfolds this plan by vision. And he was where there's no vision, no revelation of God, his word, or what God wants or what God wills for you, then he said the people are unrestrained. That means you're liable to go any direction. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. Now, what do you do with vision? Glad you asked. Well, this is where you got the paper for him. Habakkuk 2:2 and 3 gives us great insights on what to do with vision. Once the revelation comes, once the insight, the illumination comes to your heart and clear in your mind's focus, then he said, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Everybody say, write the vision. And make it plain on tablets, that he may run. Why do you have to write it? So you can run. The destiny in your life is a running pace, not a walking pace. Anytime God has to deal with his will, his plan, and purpose for your life, in the scripture, he always uses the race as a run. Not a walk, not a stroll, not a sit down. He said, run with patience the race that is set before you in Hebrews chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said, he that runneth the race, run all. Run. Everybody say run. That and only one received the prize. So run that you may obtain. He uses the word run 3 times in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Everybody say run. So you write it so you can run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it surely will come. It will not tarry. Isn't that good? So the first thing you do with vision is write it down. Why? Because you enable the Lord to refresh yourself to it. We often have shared, and I agree with it, if you don't read the vision and refresh yourself to it once a week, then you'll have a tendency to drift off course because the vision is not clear. What do you do? By faith, remember we talked about faith for fresh vision. The vision of God must be refreshed in your heart and mind. So as a practical matter, you got to have it written down so you can go back and refer to it, but not just refer to it, refresh yourself to it. You enable the Lord to refresh yourself to it when you write it down. Amen. Somebody say, glory to God. And we have it written down. Many of you had it in hand. We're going to cover a little bit of tonight at the Piper's house. We're going to refresh yourself. We have it written down. You know, we have the vision of TWCC written down. In a tablet. And we have it written down electronically. Why? Because we want to refresh ourselves to it. Because without a vision, we perish. Without divine guidance, we are unrestrained and we run wild. This tells us, what does God want us to do with our time, our talent, and our treasure? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 tells us how to get the vision. Now listen very closely. It says, but it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. But, everybody say, but God. But God has revealed unto us through his spirit. How does he reveal it to us? Through his spirit. Everybody say, the spirit. Spirit to spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, the best way, the primary way he does this is through you praying in the Spirit. You pray in tongues until you tap into the wisdom of God. You got to pray in tongues long enough to tap into the wisdom of God. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, he that prayeth in unknown tongues, let him pray that he may interpret. The interpretation comes by revelation. The primary ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life as a Christian believer is revelation. Now we say, well, what about the power stuff? The power stuff is for other people. Acts 1:8 says, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Well, the power is for others. Why does he empower you? So that you can be a witness unto Jesus in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the othermost parts of the world. That's for others. The power and the gifts are for the prophet withal, to profit other people. But for you personally, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said it three times, John 14, 15, and 16. He said, the Comforter, when he's come. In first chapter 14, he says he'll teach you all things. He'll teach you about the plan. He's not going to teach you just how to build a doghouse for Fido in the backyard. He's going to teach you how to live for Jesus. He's going to teach you and remind you of what Jesus spoke to your heart about. He's going to teach you, amen, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. And then he goes on to say that he will glorify, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. He will guide you into all truth. He will take the things of Christ and transmit them unto you, or transfer them unto you, or he will translate what Jesus did for your personal victory. Glory to God. So he's in the revelation business, principally and primarily in your life. Everybody say the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
So how do you get this vision? You got to pray in the Spirit. Now, most people have not committed their lives to the Word of God. That's the first thing you need to do. You say, Lord, I'm going to do it your way, not my way. Your will, not my will, Lord. And so you commit your life to live your life based on the Word of God, and then you partner with your senior partner, the Holy Spirit, and he will help you pray out the plan.
Amen.
Because in 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So he's speaking mysteries, not hidden from you, but hidden for you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you speak out mysteries. What are these mysteries? These are spiritual mysteries. The Bible says, in the Weymouth translation, secret truths, divine secrets. Divine secrets come from the spirit realm, where God says, I've got secrets about 2018 I want to show you. But he's got them locked up in the spirit realm where Satan can't hack. Or nobody else can hack them. But you and I can tap into those things. I know I'm talking to somebody right now.
Amen.
You're not praying in the Spirit long enough to get the wisdom of God. Somebody say, blessed be the name of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit's ministry is primarily revelation. He helps you to make it spiritually and mentally clear. So prayer must come first if the will of God is to come forth. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit.
The Spirit.
Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Holy Spirit takes hold together with you against the things that are coming against the will of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God for your life. Everybody say the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
He's there to help. He's not going to do the praying for you, friends. He's going to help you pray.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 2:6-7, howbeit we speak wisdom which are among the mature, not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That's tongues. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages unto our glory. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So that means everybody in this room has the privilege and opportunity to get to download and discover the good, glorious plan of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Nobody should be walking around in 2018 visionless.
Amen.
You ought to know with clarity what God wants me to do. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now remember the powerful principle that says to us, our outlook determines our outcome. So what does your outlook for 2018? What do you see yourself, for yourself, your family, your future? We will greet one another and text and talk to each other and say, Happy New Year, right? But friends, do we just want to be happy? Just we want a happy year. One of the authors, Leo Rosten, said this, made a thought-provoking statement. He said, I cannot believe that the purpose of life is to be happy. I think the purpose of life is to be useful, to be responsible, to be compassionate, and above all, to matter, to count, to stand for something that and have made some difference that you've lived at all. See, this requires a desire to go to the next level, friends, to rise above the norm in average Christianity. It requires the supernatural, not just the natural power to accomplish what God has prepared for us in 2018. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
See, this bridge between the natural and spiritual, supernatural reality of who we are in Christ and the natural reality of facts and natural experiences is our faith. We have to believe that God has a plan.
Amen.
And then we have to act on the process of how to download and discover his glorious good plan. It takes an act of faith. It requires each and every one of us to make a personal decision to move out of our individual comfort zone, existing status quo, or any kind of mediocre mentality that might hold us back. So our challenge, friends, is to cultivate vision from God and not to drift along in life feeling as if we have no purpose or we have no value. That's not true. Amen.
Amen.
So it's about grasping hold of the vision that is the treasure of your heart and running with it until it becomes a reality. Now let's look at this verse again in Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, you and I, friends, are not created to roam about life purposelessly. You're designed for specific placement. Before you were born, he knew who you are and separated you for a specific goal and assignment. So your placement in the grand master plan of God is located by vision. Everybody say vision.
Vision.
See, vision is the pathfinding tool in the hand of the believer. Where there is no direction, there can be no progress. You need to locate direction in your life by vision. Because remember, just a simple illustration is if you're stuck right here and you don't know where to go, you don't move. And it's hard to steer, meaning God, a parked car.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
See, vision is the unfolding of a divine plan as it relates to an individual. It is having supernatural insight into one's placement in life. And it provides access to a divine program for an individual. Wisdom is not invention of a plan, but it's a discovery of a set plan from God. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Y'all getting something out of this?
Yes, amen.
Casey Treat said this way, Reverend Casey Treat said, vision is a mental picture of a future state. What do you see? That's what he told Jeremiah. What do you see? Hopefully you can see well. Do you know that many people today live in one of two realms, neither which exists? These two realms are the past and the future. Why do they live this way? Glad you asked. Because they don't understand the need for a strategy for the present in order to leave the past and powerfully step into a better future. Glory to God. What they lack is vision. Everybody say vision.
Vision,
a strategy that provides the entryway into living the abundant life God has promised them. See, people who understand vision understand that, one, the past is their teacher. You learn from it. Two, the present is their opportunity that you see and you seize. And three, the future is not our enemy or something to be shunned or feared. What is vision? It is our hope. A vision is the goal or dream set before each one of us. It is the target for our life. Vision is the ability to see God's presence, perceive God's power, and focus on God's plan in spite of obstacles. The Holy Spirit, again, reminding you again, gives vision unto us. Everybody lift your hands right now and say, Holy Spirit, give me vision.
Holy Spirit, give me vision.
He'll give you fresh vision. He's there to help you. But the main thing he helps you with, friends, is to help you see what God has in store for you and me. Praise God. The value of vision cannot be overstated. Your vision is your future. Turn to someone next to you and ask them and say to them very nicely, smile real good at them, and say,
Your vision is your future.
Turn around to someone else and look in real nice, smile at you, show your pearly whites, and say,
Did you know?
Your vision is your future. Now, one of the largest churches in the world, Dr. David Paul Young Icho, once said, show me your vision and I'll show you your future. Then he said, if you can't tell me your vision, you're saying that you have no future. And if you can't describe your future, you're unclear about your vision. People say things like, I hope 2018 is better. Hope's a good waiter, but hope's not a tactic.
That's right.
You got to have a plan. And God has a plan. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
So you should be able to articulate with clarity your vision from the Lord.
Amen.
Y'all getting this today?
Yes.
Vision is the force that invents the future. Vision brings the future into focus. Job 32:8 says, but there is a spirit of man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Where's the understanding come? It's spiritual understanding that comes in your spirit, man, where you get divine illumination and revelation of what God has planned for you.
Amen.
And this word focus is the key to understanding what a clear vision really is and why it's necessary to accurately see your future. Once you have a clear vision, you still need a strategy to bring it into reality. Your vision is a strategy to take you out of your present and into your future.
Amen.
Vision is the unformed bridge from the present to the future that leads you from where you are to where God knows you need to be. Amen.
Amen.
So the key to having a vision is seen with spiritual eyes. We said focus is clear vision. Goals are simply bite-sized pieces of your vision that can be measured and attained. You got to make goals. We say SMART goals, usually those that understand the corporate lingo sometimes they use in business, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. That means you set goals. That's why we put before you that paper, 2018 goals. What does God want you to accomplish by his grace and by his help in 2018? The first thing is his goals, his kingdom goals. How many people you want to believe God for? Because he didn't want you to drift through 2018 and not even whisper one prayer for anybody else to get saved. And you're enjoying all the benefits of salvation and his goodness and his grace, and you got the Holy Spirit going on all around you all the time, helping you, leading you, guiding you, assisting you, and doing things for, in and through you, and you got this mighty Holy Spirit, and then you want to keep your mouth shut all year when there's people dying and going to hell all around you. Who does he want you to believe him for? Let's just say for sake of just mathematics, we say, what if you brought in two people next year? How many people would be in this room right now? Is it possible for you to allow God to use you to bring people into the kingdom? That's a good place to say yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And so if the mandate upon the house is each one, reach one. If our first vision pillar of the church and mission is to reach the unsaved and the unchurched, then we should say, Lord, I'm a part of this family, so my goal is to reach. Who do you want me to reach this year with the message and the mandate of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see them come to the Lord and be born again? There's somebody for you to reach. The God will give you a goal which is a bite-sized piece of that vision. That means I become a soul winner. I become an intercessor for those who are lost or backslidden or unchurched. I go out and reach them. Somebody say reach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so these are things that happen. And so you see also your spiritual growth goals. If you look at your paper, vision goals paper, spiritual growth goals. That means what does God want me to do? Well, maybe God wants you to read the Bible, the whole Bible in 2018. Well, we have a plan for it. He might have another plan and say, I want you to study these chapters and really learn. He always gives me assignments like that. Go study these chapters. Read these books. Listen to these messages. Why? Because if you don't grow, it's not good. He tells us in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Grow means that you changed. One of our big mission 2018 is to go, to grow, and to give. Look at the back of your paper. Look at the back of your paper. You'll see it on there. We'll talk a little bit more about that tonight at the house, at the Piper's house. But everybody say go.
Go.
Grow.
Grow.
And give.
And give.
So everybody should have a growth plan. How does God want you to grow up? There's growth is messy, but growth is good.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So it's no good if the church grows spiritually and numerically, and then you don't grow individually.
Amen.
It must be personal growth and church growth.
Amen.
That's how it works. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. And so Proverbs 33, verse 5 through 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all in your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. So stop thinking the way you've been thinking. Let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God renew your mind. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Isn't that good?
Yes.
So vision helps you and I, friends, envision the future that, and as it releases you from the past and causes you to look beyond the present. So vision is the force that invents the future so that you can rely on God's help to envision a vision that involves a detailed plan. God has a plan. Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. And equipping you into an implement an empowering strategy for life. The future that will be envisioned to be, vision is the desire that shapes your future, the desire that makes something happen, the desire to change the way things are. Now listen to these powerful promises from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah. Reading from the Amplified, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Everybody say,
I have
the mind of Christ.
And I hold the thoughts,
feelings,
and purposes
of his heart.
Now,
Proverbs 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Psalms 1:1-3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You need to avoid those three areas. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, the word of God. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Matthew 4:4 says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if you and I were in a laboratory, or let's just say a restaurant, and you had a thermometer in your pocket, I would ask you to take a temperature of your own vision, of your own vision. What do you see? How is it reading? What are you looking at? Now remember, if you're just coming through a pretty tough, challenging, changing year, then typically the enemy of our soul will try to get us in a survival mentality. And so if we're simply striving to survive, you're dreaming about success without direction, like a pipe dream, I hope and a wish things get better, I hope and a wish things gonna change, and you're not clear about the significant difference you will make on your current path, then you need to get vision refreshed in your life. See, as you delight yourself in the Lord through reading and meditating his word, he deposits his desire in your heart. Our vision comes from him, and he will bring it to pass. However, vision is like a ladder. You climb it step by step in a strategic manner. So we can go around and take inventory. What's your next step? What's God speaking to you now? What's in your heart for next month, next week, tomorrow? Everybody say, God has a plan.
God has a plan.
God just sit down and say, okay, go get after it. Here's the end goal. Just figure it out.
That's right.
You know, like sometimes people train people. Just figure it out. No, God doesn't do that. He has a detailed plan. Somebody say, glory to God. So you got to expand your horizons by stretching your imagination. You got to nurture new ideas. You got to vote for positive change with welcoming attitude. When God wants to change you, don't bristle up and put your fist up. Let him coach you and correct you. We often said correction precedes direction. So if you don't yield to correction, you don't get the direction. You got to imagine the impossible. Some of you are at a certain level of income. You got to start thinking about the next level of income.
Amen.
If you're only thinking 100,000, God may challenge you. So you need to be thinking 150,000, 200,000 next year.
Amen.
All things are possible to him or her that believes.
Amen.
Are y'all here? Y'all going home already? You got to stay ahead of tomorrow. If you're just thinking today, you're just surviving today. You got to think a month, 3 months, a year ahead. God has a plan.
Amen.
Stay ahead of tomorrow. Invent the future. And you got to operate expectantly. In other words, you come to church expecting God to talk to you. You come and wake up in the middle when you go to work tomorrow or go to your job or place of business. You're expecting God to show you something, to do something through you, to work miracles on your behalf. You're expecting.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Faith expects. Faith gets ready. And you notice unlimited opportunity. Don't go around looking for areas where, well, it looks like nothing happened. Well, sometimes the wall may be just like we just read Ezra and Nehemiah, just finished up our Bible reading from this year, Ezra and Nehemiah. The wall may look like rubble and ruin. But what do you see? Amen?
Amen.
What will you see when we go into the building? Oh, this is a project, this is a burden. Look at it as a blessed opportunity to be a beacon of light to the community.
Amen.
Praise God. Because what you see is what you get.
Amen.
Listen to what Genesis 13, 14 through 17 says. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes and look on from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, I will give you. And give it to you and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed can be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, the length of it, and the breadth of it, and I will give it to thee. We are the children of Abraham, and Abraham's blessings are ours, so we can take dominion. Just like he did. Because what you see, friends, is what you can be. See, people typically follow visual stimulation for vision. People fit into one of four vision levels. Number one, they're wanderers, those who never see it. They're just blind wanderers. They're followers, those who see it but never pursue it on their own. And then there's achievers, those who see it and pursue it. And then there's leaders who see it and pursue it and help others see it. I trust many of us will be leaders in 2018 because words shape your vision and spark action. Words shape your vision and vision sparks action. So it's time to design a new blueprint for your life by getting a fresh vision from the Lord and seeing a new future in Him. And you understand four things. God has a future and a hope for you. Without a vision, you will perish. Your vision is your future, and it is up to you to change any negative vision. You have to change it. If you see negativity in the family, in the marriage, you got to get a vision from God to change that outlook, because your outlook will determine your outcome. Praise God. Hallelujah. And usually someone once said, unachievers have the disease of destructive review. So they're always looking and limited by their past. They always talk about what has happened, what has not happened. They're always looking back. How far can you get looking back? That's destructive review. Marginal achievers and maintainers have the problem of selective replay. But achievers actively engage in selective preplay and preview. That means they see themselves winning.
Amen.
Before the fight starts, before the situation comes on the scene, they begin to see the victory.
Amen.
They begin to see the opportunity for God to get the glory here. They begin to see the overcoming situation that will come to pass in their life to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So be an achiever next year. So vision is the power of your life. Without vision or revelation of what God wants a person to do in life, one tends to feel powerless. Such a person begins to wander aimlessly without direction, is never sparked to action. Remember, without a vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. Praise God. And in Matthew 9:36, Jesus saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. To be weary is to be sickly, weak, and harassed, confused, frustrated, or beaten down. In other words, perishing. To be scattered is to be wandering through life with no purpose, no direction to keep you on course, no restraint, just drifting and floating along aimlessly and haphazardly, getting nowhere fast. But vision rescues people from perishing predicaments. To catch the vision of God is very, very important, friends.
Amen.
You have to see what God wants you to do, and then catch, carry, and convey the vision of the house. That's the spiritual family. Amen?
Amen.
Vision replaces mental resistance. Strongholds that are built up in our mind that says, well, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't see how I can do that. You remove those impossibility barriers. We must simply catch the vision, his vision, rise up and walk it out. Praise God.
Praise God.
If you keep your vision alive, it will keep you and your endeavors alive. In 2018, somebody said, glory to God. Faith is a weapon that shatters the glass ceiling of hopelessness and limitation. It looks beyond the ordinary circumstances and believes for extraordinary results. Now, let me close with these thoughts from Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 14. We're going to close with these thoughts. Now, as we step out this calendar year into next calendar year, it's just really a day in God's mind, but for us it's significant because it's a decision point that we all must make. Amen?
Amen.
And so Paul was making decision points all the way through this chapter, all the way down to the 14th verse. Because he was telling us in, I'll pick it up, verse 7. He said, but the things that were gained to me, because he begins to give us a resume of what he accomplished in the natural. And then he begins to give us these interesting items of loss. We would call it a loss ledger. So he was calculating all the things he had accomplished in the natural, in the flesh, and then he began to put them on his loss ledger. And verse 7, you see, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. Everybody say loss. For Christ. Now this word loss, interesting enough, is the word kemain, K-E-M-A-I-N, which is a Greek word, which means liability. He's saying, you know, I had this education, I was in the right tribe, I was circumcised on the eighth day, I was a Pharisee, and if you understand Paul, he had two doctor's degrees, as you would say today. He had a doctor in philosophy, because he came from, studied under Gamaliel, and the Greek-Roman philosopher of history, and so he had a PhD in philosophy, so he had a high degree there, and he was a Pharisee, which he had a doctor of divinity, so he had a high educational degree in the Jews' religion. Praise God. And so he said, I got these degrees, I've got this pedigree, I've got the right program, I got the right resume, but he said, I'll start counting them as loss. Because if I lean on those natural liabilities, then that they will become liabilities. So I count them as loss. So ledger on the law. Then in verse 18, now doubtless I count all things but loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, in whom I suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but dung. So in other words, after I sum all these loss ledger up, this is all cow dung. Cow patties, if someone might call them by another term. That I may win Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, and having not my own righteousness, but riches of the law, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which of God, which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I already attained, neither were already perfect. Now notice the language here. But I follow after, if I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Friends, one of the encouragements here is that we must choose to live not by our emotions, but by our decisions. Now, Paul made some decisions, and decisions determine our character, our conduct, and our destiny. When you say to yourself, by the help and grace of God, I'm not going to be moved by my emotions first, principally, and primarily, because you know how it is. If you don't feel like exercising, you don't do it. If you don't full out pushing that, you know, those sugar and tortillas away, you won't do it. Amen. You won't lose the weight as God may have set before you. If you feel like spending money because that makes you feel better, when I go spend and shop and squander money and not sow it into the kingdom, you throw it. That's because your emotions are out of whack. You must choose to live by your decisions, not your emotions. And we said before, you know, a decision means to cut off. You know, we know circumcision means to cut around, and incision means to cut in. Excision means to cut out, but decision means to cut off. There's some things we got to decide. This is not going to stop happening, and this is going to start happening, whether I feel like it or not. Somebody say, glory to God. But the Holy Spirit helps us with our quality decision making. And so we said before that your life is composed of choices and constructed by your words. And so we see that the Christian believer, as Paul's example here in these few verses, who wants to finish well in 2018, you will cultivate three disciplines. The discipline of focus, which is striving for a single goal, the one thing, until the completion, or undeterred by obstacles and the taunts of the crowd. Number two, the discipline of forgetting, which is refusing to be paralyzed or rendered complacent by the past. You think, well, I've arrived. I've done it all. I've maxed out my earnings producing power. No, you haven't. Amen. And the number three, the discipline of following, which is intensely pursuing the calling of the Christian life until experiential victory has been experienced. Focus, why? Because focus is a choice. This one thing I do. God's not going to make, his plan's not complicated, friends. It's simple. And he said, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The author of complexity is Satan. He tries to bring all these things into your life experience to bring confusion, chaos, and disorder. That means peace leaves. But stay focused. Everybody say, stay focused.
Stay focused.
Focus is a choice. So we have a choice to be a wandering generality, a jack of all trades and a master of none, or a meaningful specific, meaning someone who's focused on a goal. Being focused is the difference between good and best. We see Paul had focus. We know he was a man of faith because he was looking ahead at something he did not have yet. He said, I don't think I've got it all. There's something else to attain in Christ. There's a next level to go to in Christ. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. And so don't let the battle make you lose your focus or where you're going. There's no all-arounders in life. The world is ruled by specialists. And you are a specialist. You belong somewhere. Don't let the battles that rage in your life chase you out of where you belong. You're never a focus until you have a focus. Amen. And so we have to stay where God places us. No, I want to use this word focus as an acrostic or acronym to give you an idea of what focus means. F means focus on a goal. O, overcome indifferences, because there will be many opportunities to overcome indifferences. Because the number one tool of the enemy that he uses is distraction to break your focus. C, conquer worry, fear, panic, and paralysis. C, conquer worry, fear, panic, and paralysis. U, undo blurred vision. If you can't see well, undo it. Tap into the Holy Spirit. Partner with the Holy Spirit and tap into the wisdom of God till you can see clearly. S, stop hanging around with unfocused friends. Hallelujah. Everybody say, stop hanging around unfocused friends. Because if they don't know where they're going, it's going to be the blind leading the blind, and you're both going to fall in a ditch. Then you're going to say, Pastor, I'm in a ditch. I'm going to say, get out of the ditch. Hallelujah. We're almost finished here. You're to focus on two things. First, your God-given purpose, and second, his glorious good plan that he has for us in our lives. Why? Because God has a plan. God is a planner. Planning is winning. Purpose is dead without a plan. It's planning that empowers purpose to deliver. Purpose is impotent without a plan. Every building requires a plan. Victims in life typically fall in two areas. They either lack planning or they have poor planning. You need a strategic planning to maximize your life, your ministry, your business endeavors, and your career, whatever you've got going on. If you're not futuristic in your life approach, you cannot earn a future. So if you're not thinking ahead of tomorrow, then you don't have a plan. Am I stirring y'all up a little bit? God has a plan. Then number three, you press for the prize which he has to us to achieve. These are called marks he's laid out for us to pursue. That means the overall plan is a lifelong goal. But there are plans that we call intermediate steps, intermediate goals. There are bite-sized pieces of the vision. That's called goals. These are marks. You press toward these marks. Amen. Glory to God. God may say, you need more wisdom in your life. I need you to read Proverbs one chapter a day for all of January so you can impart more wisdom. God can impart more practical, skillful, godly wisdom in your life for the month of January to start the year. So he may have a plan, one chapter of Proverbs every day. Well, we're reading Bible every day with the church. Yes, but he has an individual plan. He might have an individual plan for you. He may say, well, you need to pray in the Spirit 30 minutes a day to start learning the supernatural realm and become more familiar with the realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
Whew. Focus is the only way to destroy distractions, friends. You gotta have the discipline of focus. Like Paul said, this one thing I do. What's your focus? And we said focus equals clear vision. I know where I'm at. I know where I need to be. I know what I'm supposed to do. And focus is the only way to destroy distraction, because that's the tool of the devil. And we often said people fall through from grace, from glory, from the Lord's instructions, because of broken focus. and distractions from the enemy. One of the main reasons people fall or fail is because of broken focus. And we've said distractions are the destruction of your dream in slow motion. So you must decide, make that decision like Paul. This one thing I do. What matters most, what matters now, and what matters to the purpose and plan of God for your life. Praise God. Now, you remember what Jesus said, the little short verse, Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. Y'all know what happened. Sodom and Gomorrah. Whole world's going to hell in a basket, literally. Fire and brimstone come out of heaven, smoke's rising up, people screaming, hollering. A wicked and wretched twin cities and territory. And the devil, the Lord instructed, don't look back. And what did she do? She looked back. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, you don't look back if you want to see the power of God. Don't look back. 2018 is going to be a great, glorious year.
Amen.
By the grace and grace of God. This is what God said, never look back if you want to see the power of God. Hallelujah. Don't race your life running after good things rather than focusing on God things. Keep continually evaluating, eliminate, and everything that distracts from your vision and from your goals. Get rid of those unnecessary weights. Start seeing what God wants you to see. Y'all stand with me, please.